Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Problem is, he might be, like, very gung-ho about tackling at this level. He's 175.
Exactly. He's very frail.
You might get truck-sticked. And that's why, of those two, I know that they did double homework on him, but I would think DeGene would be the guy they'd be more interested in because the guy's built like a brick you-know-what house, like to the point where people think he might be a safety at this level.
You just look at the breadcrumbs here, and the corner thing is probably something that is more likely than we've even discussed, Chris.
If it was Mitchell, do you think they'd be really – if he was going to fall to them, and I don't think he will get close.
No, I don't think so either, the Toledo corner.
Because I think they like him the most. Maybe one of the Bama guys, because Tomlin obviously likes guys from Bama and Georgia, which is understandable. But I think they love Mitchell because they saw him go to the Senior Bowl and go wild in that, setting.
And there was – the people that were down there said that Tomlin was just like
– all over him, telling him to shut down receivers.
A hog and slop watching that.
He would put him on everybody and just – who was the receiver they were making do reps against him? I don't even remember who it was. But basically, Tomlin was just basically – setting these two guys up to go against each other every time, and people said Mitchell won.
Now, I don't think Mitchell did anything at his pro day, so there was no point in going to Toledo to watch him. And they didn't bring him in for a visit.
Yep.
That could be a smokescreen by them in this new world order of doing things. He's nearby. Maybe they did something kind of low-key with him. Then again, I think he's just one of those guys that they probably were like, is he really realistically going to be there at 20? No. So let's...
How worth our time is this?
Exactly.
Like, due diligence is nice, but we're not going to spend a serious amount of time.
The only guy I would say from looking at this list who you would look at... So I have a... Let me go through this, actually. So here are the first-round graded players in total that they met with.
Okay.
Mitchell from Texas, and he's borderline, the wide receiver.
I've read stuff about him, and you never know if it's disinformation season that, like, makes me leery about picking him, by the way.
Well, he gets compared to George Pickens, and you love George Pickens.
I know, but like more like uncoachable at times, essentially. And
more George Pickens.
I understand that, but one George Pickens, fine. You make the whole receiver room out of George Pickens, might not be fine.
But
anyway.
But that, to me, that's like a Tomlin dream. I think Tomlin, give me the guy, and I'll coach him, and I'll figure it out, and I'll make him better, and I'll get his head screwed on straight.
What did all of Mike Tomlin's rah-rah stuff mean for George Pickens until Mike Tomlin finally went with the quarterback that got George Pickens the ball? Very little. Bupkis.
But he made excuses for him the entire time.
Yes, that would be very enervating to me.
What's that?
Enervating.
Donnie, do you know what that word means?
Sorry, I was cutting something. What do we have here?
Enervating. Do you know what the word enervating means? Enervating.
Oh, of course I do.
What's that?
No, I don't know what it means.
What if he just said the act of enervating?
See what I mean?
To enervate.
You've got to run every word you use on the air through the Donnie football filter.
Does
Donnie know what the word is? And if he doesn't, then just keep it in your back pocket.
Oh, that's going to make him way too limited.
No, it's not.
Are you saying all I've got in my bag of tricks is big words?
No, I'm saying you will use several words that I won't know what they mean.
I think you're selling yourself short.
Pony, what does enervating mean?
Let me think of the synonym here. Aggravating would be the word that I would come up
more
with.
More like, it's more a word that I would say is very draining. Like you're drained of energy. Yeah. Like I just wouldn't have the energy to keep going back to Mike Tomlin excuse making for his receivers.
All right, so one first, so that's a borderline first round guy.
Okay.
Barton.
Yep.
Fautanu.
Yep.
Guyton. Fuaga. Mims. DeGene. Wiggins. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys they brought in. So about a third of their visits were guys who they had projected first round picks. And the best one from that group, I would say, is Fuaga. When they brought him here, though, he wasn't being talked about He wasn't being talked about like he could be a top 10 or top 15 pick like he is now.
Correct. When they brought him here, I think there was more of an expectation that he would
so
be
So they
available.
Brought in all guys that they could realistically draft, Chris.
Correct.
Is what I'm saying. The other thing, I said first-round curveball could be corner. How about second- or third-round curveball? The last couple of days of their visits, Peyton Wilson, inside linebacker, North Carolina State, Junior Colson, inside linebacker, Michigan. Consensus, if you look at it, second-ranked and third-ranked inside linebackers in the draft. We have Fittipaldo on coming on in 10 minutes. I will ask him that because that got slipped in under the radar at the very end of things. They talked to two guys who are thought of as every down inside linebackers and are, like, at the top, other than the kid from Texas A&M.
What did you call him the first time? Edgerin?
Yes.
Yeah, Edgerin Cooper.
Cooper.
Who's
Cooper.
The clear cream of that particular crop.
But those guys are right below him,
Chris. Let me ask you something.
Even after the Queen signing and Roberts still being on your roster.
Let me ask you.
But they never looked at Roberts as a three-down linebacker when they signed him. Remember that.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Do you think that you have to have a guy who's a three-down guy and then a thumper in the other position, or a pair of three-down guys is better? Like, because there are some.
It's easier with two three-down guys, but I don't think the position is so valuable that you have to do that. I'd rather do it.
Here's the other thing.
Platoon there
in this division, given two of the three teams you're going to go against and what their philosophies, stated philosophies are, do you even want a pair of three-down guys? This actually might be one of the few divisions in football where you'd be willing to risk it with like an obvious thumper because the Browns and the Ravens are going to try to run the ball right at you, and the Bengals still might try to do that too.
Also, if you look at the wide receivers here, so Mitchell has a late first, early second round grade. They talked to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide receivers. Three of them, I think, are – there's a clear, I think, trend here. Corley from Western Kentucky.
Yep.
Leggett from South Carolina. Yep. Pearsall from Florida. Now, those guys stylistically are not all the same. But they're all guys, I think, who they would take with the third-round pick, with their third-round pick.
I would agree, although Pearsall doesn't seem like he's going to last that long.
I don't think so either.
Corley or Leggett, and I think with that it's, do you want to try to get Debo Jr. in Corley? Because that's what everyone, the Yak King, I believe, Pony?
Yes.
That's what
the kid who was a sports director in Kentucky who was already drinking bourbon and had a full-time job
unbelievable.
At 21
Putting
years old
to
told
shame.
Us.
Leggett? When I think of him, though, now I'm going to say a name, even though I don't think it's fair. It's just for whatever reason he calls to mind this guy. Sammy Coates, without hopefully the drops issues, he's not overwhelmingly tall, but he's like a physically dominant player. Like the traits for him you would think are very off the charts, like which you'd love it traits-wise. And so I think that's the kind of guy they feel like they can mold a little bit. Big-time athlete. Maybe the polish isn't quite there, but it's good enough that you feel like he's going to be a significant contributor at the very worst, like halfway through his first year.
So I'm going to give you something right now. Based on all the information we have,
yes,
I'm going to predict for you, using all of this stuff, their top four picks came from visits last year. I'm going to predict for you right now who I think their top four picks will be in this draft,
okay,
based on that info.
Okay.
I think Mims will be the first-round pick with pick 20, much to your delight. I think the second round pick is going to be Charlie's next to me. I think it's going to be Max Melton from Rutgers.
The State University of New Jersey.
He's a corner. I think the third-round pick is going to be Corley from Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think their second, third-round pick, the pick they got from the Eagles, is going to be – I think it's going to be
– another dog? I think I know what at least one of the names you're thinking about here.
Who?
Van Pran.
No, he didn't come here for a visit.
I know, but they went down to Georgia.
They did go down to Georgia.
I'm just wondering, you've got a tackle, a corner, and a wideout. I'm assuming you're going to try to find a center somewhere.
I think Norzad might be the center, so I'm saving him for day three.
Have I sold you on that one suddenly? Big Hunter Norzad.
Here's what I'm torn on. Do I take a defensive tackle here with the fourth pick? I think I will. So who would be there late in the third round? Donnie, who's got a better chance of being there at the end of the third round, Smith from LSU or Fisk from Florida State?
I would say Smith. And I know, okay, I know for a fact he came in here.
He did.
Fisk so those seems are my like top the, four. I don't want to say like the darling, but you know that he shines.
He seems like he's rising, man.
Yeah, he's going to get picked too early.
Mason Smith has a second, third-round grade, so if you're picking him at 98, I think you're probably getting value
there. I mean, if
there.
They take Mims and then they can't strike a deal to move up, I can see them doing something like that. And then Norzad from Penn State is the fourth-round pick at center early on day three, and you start with Herbig and you see if Norzad can eventually beat him out for the job, which is not ideal.
But
I can see them doing that.
But Norzad as a six-year player could be a lot closer to doing that than others could be. By the way, on the Brugler board, Smith rated ahead of Fisk.
Interesting.
Sixth on his board, then seventh for
Well, Fisk is a workout freak. We went over him.
He's a Mamula.
He's a guy that has just shot up board since the Senior Bowl.
And he's very – you know what? They would take Smith there. You know why? Because Fisk is 24 and Smith's 21. They love you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, really excited to talk to Ray Fittipaldo. Going to be even more excited to talk to him at this time next week when we're just hours away from the Steelers being put on the clock at pick 20. Ray, the latest scuttlebutt seems to be Steelers almost more likely to take center at 20 over offensive tackle. Are you on that bandwagon yet?
Well, I mean, it's certainly gaining some steam here in the last week or so. I've been doing this a while. I can't remember a guy rising up in the draft on the draft boards like Graham Barton has over the last week or two. I know some guys in the industry were on him and kind of always had him graded that way, but it seems like others are onto him now. So, you know, could it be Mims still? Yeah, it could be Mims. Could it be Barton? Yeah. I'm still.
If they're both there, Ray, educated guess. If Mims and Barton are still there at 20, who do you think they'd take?
Well, I'm going to say Barton, and here's my reasoning, okay? You go out and you acquire Russell Wilson, okay, 37-year-old quarterback. T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward aren't getting any younger. So they're always in win-now mode, but they're kind of like there's that sense of urgency this year. And I think rather than taking the guy with tons of potential, which is Mims, you take the plug-and-play guy, the guy who could help you right away. So in that scenario, I would go Barton, and I would go Barton for that reason.
Nothing to me says win now like having Dan Moore as your starting left tackle, Ray, but I digress. That's just me grousing right now.
But Ray's done a 180 on this because you told us for weeks, hey, Herbig. They'll go with Herbig. They'll be okay with Herbig. So something's changed here with you, Ray.
Well, not necessarily with me. I just think it's you know, we're finding more out about you know, the center prospects, and you know, this guy could legitimately be worth a first-round pick. And one thing to point out to Chris here, they could still flip Broderick Jones to the left side and let Spencer Anderson and Dylan Cook battle it out on the right side. I know nobody's talking about that right now, but that could be a possibility as well.
Well, Spencer Anderson was at a Penguins game with Russell Wilson, so maybe Russ has forged an early bond with him. Ray, if I went with just these two options – okay, I want you to pick which one you think is more likely. Steelers simply make their pick, whoever it might be, at 20, or Steelers trade down between 4 and 8 spots in the first round.
I think stand pat and make their pick. I think this is a really good draft for the Steelers, and what I mean by that is it's a deep draft at positions of their need. So right tackles, centers, receivers, cornerbacks, you should be able to find one with a good grade at number 20. So I think they'll stand pat and pick the best player available at one of those positions.
Ray, more likely they trade up or trade down?
I would say trade up. Fautanu was in here. Fuaga was in here. I don't think they're going to be there at 20, but I know the Steelers really spent a lot of time on both those guys. They brought both those guys in from the West Coast. I mean, they're really when the Steelers fly you in from the West Coast and they go to your pro days, they invest that time and money. That means they're really serious about you. So I know Meyer was at both Oregon State, Washington, and Oregon's pro days. He kind of made that trip out there. So that tells you that they're interested in those guys. So if there is a trade-up scenario, I think it would be for Fautanu or for Fuaga.
Ray, do you think two national guys, Peter Schrager was one, Jonathan Jones at CBS another, both mocking Brian Thomas, the receiver from LSU, to the Steelers at pick 20. Percentage chance you think that actually happens?
Yeah, I mean, that's not totally out of left field because they obviously have a huge hole there. I would say 15 to 20%. I don't think it's a great chance, but the reason I hesitate is, they didn't bring him in for a visit. They brought Mitchell in. They brought mostly second rounders in. So that tells me it's probably going to be in the second round, but I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility either.
Ray, I was just telling Chris, I think if there's a curveball in the first round and it's not an offensive lineman, I think it's a corner over a wide receiver. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you got DeGene in there from Iowa. You got Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Both those guys are projected first rounders. Wiggins added some weight since the combine. He was really light at the combine. I think it's like 173 or something like that. But he put on some weight, and he's a really fast guy, and he can cover. So he'd be a possibility. And, we've talked about DeGene in the past. He's a chess piece, safety, slot corner, outside. He could fill a lot of roles for you. And I know they really value that in their defensive backs, and that's something they really need right now, with how short they are in the secondary, specifically at slot corner.
Is there any cornerback in this year's draft that they would take over any of these offensive linemen if that person was available at 20? Like, is there a guy that you think they have rated more highly overall than any of those linemen?
Yeah, I mean, like, the only scenario I could see, like, I don't think it would be DeGene over Fuaga or DeGene over Fautanu, but if there really is a consensus in that building that they need a plug-and-play offensive lineman, and it comes down to, like, DeGene and Mims, and they don't think Mims is that guy, then, maybe it would be DeGene in that situation. But, I just think they've spent so much of their time and resources on scouting centers and right tackles. It seems like that's going to be the pick. That's probably the way I'm going to lean next week at this time. But I was on Daniel Jeremiah's conference call yesterday, and he put it perfectly. He was like, the Steelers are in a good position, and it's not because of something they did. It's because of something that's just a circumstance of theirs. But they're kind of in a good position because they have a lot of needs at number 20, and you could just sit there and take the best player available at several of those positions. So they're not locked in to taking a right tackle or a center or a corner at a receiver. So they can just kind of sit back, relax, wherever the highest rated player is on the board at that point, they could take him and, feel pretty good about it.
Ray, we had Steve Jones on earlier in the show. Last year at this time, it was thought that Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State, bypassed being a top 10 pick by going back to school.
Yep.
Now you guys have an article up on the Post-Gazette's website about how he might slip to 20. They did no homework on the guy, at least the best we can tell.
Yeah.
They didn't send any big-name guy to their pro day. They didn't drive him a couple hours west to us. So what do you think would happen if he fell to 20?
I think they would probably pass. He's a left tackle. Their desire is to move Broderick Jones to the left side. That's definitely something they want to do. In short order, I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but you know, Fashanu isn't a guy who it seems like has a lot of right tackle capability. So, you know, I think they would probably just pass on him. And wow. It's an interesting case study in when players come out and when they don't. You know, sometimes you got to strike while the iron is hot. And I know he's not going to lose a ton of money, but there is a difference between top 10 money and top 25 money. And, you know, he's going to be short a few dollars for making that decision he made last year.
Ray, has the Steelers' interest in Zach Frazier cooled, or is it just that other names like Barton, for example, are being talked about more because they continue to rise?
No, I think they like Zach Frazier. I just don't think there's the consensus in that building that they like him enough to take him at 20. But, listen, if he's there at 51 and they don't take a center,
would they like him enough to trade up? Would they like him enough to trade up in the second round to get him earlier in the second round?
I think they would.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, that always depends on what you have to give up. But, yeah, I mean, I think if they go, let's say they go tackle or receiver at 20, and then there's a situation where he's only, like, five spots away, and let's say you only have to give away, like, 98 to get that guy or 84 to get that guy, maybe you make the deal at that point. So, yeah, I mean, that's a plausible scenario. I just don't think they view him as a first-round pick, but they like him a lot.
Ray, let's do this on the way out here. Last couple days of these visits, they tried to sneak in two of the three top inside linebacker prospects, Colson from Michigan, Wilson from NC State. I said to Mulsey, I think we've got to at least weigh the real possibility that they take an inside linebacker on day two of the draft. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you have to watch for there, you know, Colson probably is like a second-round pick. But Wilson and his injury history, he's got the talent to be like a first or a second round pick, but he's got all those injuries in his past. I'd say if he falls to the third round, he would be in consideration at 84 or 98. I just don't know if they would use a second round pick on a guy like him who's had shoulder, knee, multiple knee injuries. That'd be a big risk to take at that point, but he is freaky athletic. He tested awesome. And he had two really good years in 22 and 23 after all those injuries.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers Insider Post-Gazette, all over the draft for them. We'll talk on draft night with him. Thanks, Ray.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, it's time for Total Request Thursday. Remember Total Request Live with Carson Daly back in the day? What a huge show that was, Mulsey, when we were like in 7th and 8th grade.
No, I don't.
Oh,
that's right,
you didn't have cable.
Yeah. That was a setup, so you TJ could say that. My apologies.
TJ the DJ is here, and he is nodding yes. That show got Carson Daly, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She is one of the most beautiful women who's ever lived.
What I wouldn't. Anyways.
The Party of 5 days. And then she got body shamed for a while, and then she came back. You want to talk about coming back with a vengeance.
What was the horror flick she was in?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
And I know, well, I was going to make another joke right there. And I'm not going to make it because this is a family show.
Over 1,200 votes. Our listeners did not want us to talk about the cringy Caitlin Clark press conference.
That was brutal.
They did not want us to talk about Paul Skeens pitching tonight.
Kind of surprising.
They did not want us to talk about Mike Sullivan's status with the Penguins.
Unsurprising because everyone knows he's staying.
They wanted 49% of us to talk about Steelers wide receiver trade rumor.
But I've been told that people want to hear about other things.
Mulsey, are you a generic shopper? When you and Alex go
store
to the supermarket,
brand?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Lay out a compelling case.
When I was
for
a
it,
kid,
please.
I was like, Dad, I want brand name corn chips or tortilla chips. And then I realized
this. You want Doritos, Fritos.
Exactly. Tostitos. No, we can make a Lou Bega song out of this. Let's talk about Carson Daly here for
a
second.
Why are they all like that? Why are they all OS?
Give me the Fritos. Give me the Doritos. Give me the Cheetos. Give me the Tostitos.
Right?
Give me the Totino's pizza rolls. They even got in on it.
But with the chips, like.
How about Munchos at the end of it?
Somebody got in on it first, and then every chip that came out after that.
But you know who's staying steadfast? Lay's and Ruffles. Anyway, so yes, I became a much more generic shopper when I was paying the bills every month. It's funny how that turns you.
Donnie, was John Football a generic shopper?
Yeah, I would say for the most part. I mean, my mom obviously did the grocery shopping, but yeah, I mean, we We never went crazy with any of the big-time name brand guys. Now, I mean,
my mom,
there would be, like, event special occasions. Like, you got to get the good stuff.
Yeah, so my mom liked to get high. Still does.
So she would just come back with an entire shopping cart full of chips.
She drew the line on generic pop, generic Oreo. She would not do the
Hydrox cookies.
She would not do that.
Oh, we would get Hydrox. I didn't care about those.
And generic cereals. It was always the brand name.
Alex likes like the Aldi brand cereals now because they don't use artificial colors, most of them.
Well, you told me she's on a warpath against the colors.
I will tell you
red
this.
Red fives and orange nines and whatever.
She wants to put yellow 13 in the ground, brother. but then she'll drink Diet Coke, which if you boil it down to its like component parts is probably like some sort of worm that gets
every
into your
bottle
stomach.
Takes like a – no. But anyways.
Anyway, no. I'm just laughing that your mom drew the line at Diet Pop. Because I had a roommate, same roommate who we would put dirty dishes on his bed and he couldn't be shamed into, like, doing the dishes.
Yep.
He would religiously, he would make mixed drinks that were just White Tavern vodka, which to my knowledge is still the cheapest vodka you can purchase. And he would mix it with Diet Dr. Thunder.
I knew you were going to say Dr. Thunder. I don't know why. But Dr. Thunder had a cult following.
He preferred it to Dr. Pepper.
That's what I mean. You'd
Dr.
be surprised
Thunder
how many
is phenomenal.
People-
And I'll tell you what, the real
Bill
thunder was coming
Dr.
out of you
thunder
the morning
fan.
After. That was when the thunder came out. What was it about the good doctor?
That made you take a dump?
No, what was it about the good doctor that made it a cult drink?
Oh, I don't know. But my uncle swore by it. He had cans of it in his garage.
Who just swears by, hey, come here, try this, kid. Dr. Thunder.
Whenever I think of him, I'm like, we used to go over his house for cookouts and stuff because he had a pool growing up.
Okay.
And he had just cans of Dr. Thunder in his garage. He had a ping pong table. He used to get high downstairs as well with my mom. And I used, like, his bathroom once, and I, like, he needed to put out another roll of toilet paper. Like, the toilet paper was basically done.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I'm guessing it's in.
In the vanity, the little, you know, cabinet.
Open it up, Playboy magazine fell out.
Well, that had to be. You spent a little longer in the bathroom then.
I was so intrigued by it.
How old were you?
I was probably like 13.
You want to talk about a prime age for one of those to come out of the cabinet.
So anyways, I bring up generic brand items because I feel like Cortland Sutton is the generic brand wide receiver that is getting bandied about here. We know he's probably available because he's in a contract dispute with the Broncos and didn't show up for offseason workouts, and you have to make this – as a team that's interested in a wide receiver like the Steelers are, you're going to pay less for Cortland Sutton than you would Brandon Ayuk, and is that a better deal? Yes, the Hydrox cookies are not as good as the Oreos.
But are you getting appropriate bang for your buck?
You're saving money, and you're getting production.
So I'll make this.
So I don't have Sutton's numbers in front of me.
He's only got 1,000-yard season, and that was in 2019. But he's coming off of a big season for touchdowns. He was a touchdown maker for Wilson, 10 of them.
Like that one against Buffalo.
Right. Yeah. He's a go up and get it guy. He's very physical. He's just Pickens is a burner mostly, and a guy who's just supremely gifted athletically. Sutton is a very physical guy. Do you know why I'm okay going with the generic brand here? Because their offense is supposed to be so run-heavy, if Pickens is still ideally going to be break out and be your best receiver this year, I think that's where you go generic. Because you aren't building your offense around, can we throw the ball to multiple receivers a lot? You want a complimentary piece.
So instead of giving Ayuk $25 million a year, well, it's probably more like 30 with him.
You give Sutton, what, 18?
No, it'd be more than that. 20? I think it's more than Deontay Johnson and Christian Kirk. I think it's probably between 20 and – so like 21 or 22. And you give up a second maybe instead of a first?
I think if we're talking just strictly about this comparison, I would do that. I would absolutely do that.
So you trade the 51st pick for Cortland Sutton, and then you give him a four-year, $85 million deal?
Yes. I would do that more than I do the Ayuk deal. I mean, the only concern I have is that Sutton's going to be 32 by the end of that deal, but I'll live with that. You can set the deal. You can structure the deal such that that the pain isn't so bad at the end if he turns out to turn into a pumpkin halfway through it.
I didn't know he was that old. He's been in the league that long?
Been around, brother. Coming off that one big injury in 2020, too. Tore up a knee.
I don't think I would do it. Donnie, how about you?
Was it an Achilles or a knee? Was he bad either way?
What was the pick again?
So instead 51. Of giving up 20 like you would for Ayuk, let's say it's 51, and instead of giving him like 4 years and $100 million for Ayuk. You're giving Sutton 4 years and $85
million. No, I'm taking Ayuk. I think he's a significantly better player, and I think it's worth more of the money and the draft capital in that sense. He's also a younger player. The only thing that would even make me consider Sutton is last season what he did with Russell Wilson. If they had zero connection, it wouldn't even be me thinking about it for a second.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm not making a trade for Russell Wilson, though, because I'm not even sure
he's
going to be my quarterback
be
by Thanksgiving.
One thing is becoming very clear here on this show. I am on an island of sorts when it comes to Ayuk. I think he's a very good football player.
Yes, you are.
I do not think he is a guy on the caliber the way, or the, he's a caliber
the power
player
of Steve
the way
Palazzolo's rhetoric clearly did not get through to you on
that.
No, I
mean, I get it. I think a lot of people, too, watched him just torch the Steelers last week in week one, and it's going to make a strong impression on you.
I have to fight my temptation to want to make moves that make the team better instantly, because that's always how I feel as a sports fan.
But there's a long game that you've got to
play. That's my default setting. And, like, even with the case of Sutton, because of his age, and he has been hurt, I think even though we've gone through it, their draft record at wide receivers is not as spectacular and sparkling as people outside of, you know, Steelers media make it out to be. Like, they never miss on these guys. Oh, no, they miss on a lot, including Chase Claypool.
AB skewed a ton of it for people. He did. He was a
James Washington.
Pick.
I mean, there's plenty of these
Sammy
guys.
Coates.
Sammy Coates.
But then I can point in those second and third rounds. Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders. Those are good picks.
I'd honestly rather have the second or third round receiver and have at least 4 years of the guy and hope that he blows up and turns into a really good player than give up that second round pick and give a lot of money to Cortland Sutton.
That's the same logic I use with Ayuk. I'd rather have a potential franchise tackle especially, but even a center that's going to anchor that line for 8 to 10 years.
See, I'm surprised you say that. I'm surprised you say you take the center over the star.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.